Dear Lord God, we just thank you and praise you that we can come together as a group to hear your word and to learn and grow in you. Lord, we pray that you would guide us and direct us by your spirit, Lord, and that we would be surrendered to what your word has to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and to our minds, Lord, that we may honor and glorify you through Jesus and through the surrender of your spirit. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you, and we ask that you guide us in our time together. So Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Revelation 2:18. Write to the angel of the church of Thyatira, thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame, and whose feet are like fine bronze. I know your works, your love, faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know your last works are greater than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat meat sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I will throw her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction, unless they repent of her works. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to the teachings, who haven't known the so-called secrets of Satan, as they say, I am not putting any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery. Just as I have received this from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. There's plenty there, right? I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to spend a lot of time on verse 18. Okay? Because what does Jesus call himself right there, right off the bat?
Angel. Son of God.
There we go. Son of God. This is the only time in Revelation that that is said. Okay, now he makes the claims of being God throughout Revelation, right? He always points to the fact that he's God. But this is the only time you're going to find that it says Son of God. But this is not the only time Jesus has ever said it. Okay, Jesus says this all over the place. Right? It's all throughout the Gospels. And we're going to go and look at some of them. If you guys want to follow along and turn there with me, you're more than welcome. Or you can just listen. Okay, because there's going to be a lot of them. Okay, because basically what we're going to do right now is prove that Jesus did claim to be God. Okay, because I think sometimes there's still that question in the back of our heads. Did Jesus really claim to be God?
Oh yeah.
Right? So we're gonna jump around. Mostly we'll be in John. In John 5, starting at verse 17, says, now Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. Jesus responds to them, my Father is still working, still working, and I am working also. This is why the Jews trying all the more to kill him, or began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Okay, this is the reason that they started trying to kill him. Okay, at points they were wanting to stone him because he's blaspheming. He's not. He's actually God. Therefore, he's not sinning when he says these things. Okay, in John 6, 30, verse 33.
6:33.
Yep. Okay, it says, for the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Right? And then jump to verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay? And Jesus is like, yo, I'm doing what God has sent me to do. I am from heaven doing what God wants me to do. Okay? In verse 40 says, for this is the will of my Father. Okay, again, calling him his Father. Okay? That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. And where did I want to go? Okay. Therefore, the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Okay. They're like, hey, we know Mary and Joseph. How is it he can say that I'm from heaven if we know who his parents are? Okay, they're basically trying to say, you're not who you're claiming to be. Okay, you're the son of a little girl and a carpenter. Okay, because they don't get it. Okay, they're not understanding the fact that he's saying, no, yeah, I'm born of these earthly parents, but Joseph's not actually my father. Okay. And Mary, yeah, that's the vessel God used to bring me into the flesh so that I could come and do his will. Okay. Now, jump to verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. Okay, Jesus again saying, hey, I'm the bread of life from heaven, right? God sent manna into the wilderness to feed the Israelites. Well, Jesus is the living bread that comes from heaven as well, right? I think we've talked about this before. Okay, we talked about manna and how Jesus is the living bread. Okay, so again, we see more and more. Jesus is just like, I'm God. At what point are you going to finally get this? And of course, we know they don't. Right? Even to this day, there are still many, many Jews who do not understand that Jesus is the Messiah, God in the flesh, that they were looking for.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible, man, for him to be doing the miracles that he did still?
Right? Right? In verse 57, he says, just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate, and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. Okay, so he's teaching Jews. He is just standing there going, look, I'm God. I'm God, and you need to learn from me. You need to grow in me. You need to trust and believe me. And unfortunately, they don't. And it's sad. It really is sad. Like, I totally agree to the fact that it's sad that they don't get it. And I really wish that they would. Right? A lot of times they're saying, well, give us a sign to prove who you say you are. Give us a sign to prove that you are God, that you are his son, that you are equal to him. They're always wanting some sort of proof. And every time they got proof, they still didn't believe.
What did they want? They wanted a king like David that would fight.
Yeah, they wanted the conquering king. Yeah. Okay? And then what they don't realize is the conquering king is still coming. And hopefully they understand who he is before it's too late. And we know that they will. There will be many Jews who go in the end times, like in the real end times, like the 7-year tribulation, many will come to faith and believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay. Now, I'll come back to Matthew, but we're going to, or to John, but we're going to jump to Matthew.
Matthew what?
26. verses 66. 62. Okay, this is Jesus on trial in the Sanhedrin. Okay? It says here, the high priest stood up and said to him, "Don't you have an answer to these men that are testifying against you?" Okay? He was on trial and people were bringing false testimony. Okay? But Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God." Okay, now Jesus needs to answer, right? "Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said it," Jesus told him. "But I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? See now, you've heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" They answered, "He deserves death." Okay? And why did they say he deserves death? Because he's claiming to be God. Right? That was capital punishment to blaspheme and say that you are God. Okay? Because there's only one God, right? Right? So you got Jesus saying, "Hey, I'm God. I'm not gonna lie to you about it. I'm God." You know? And in the parallels, so in Mark, you have the same thing. And it says it a little bit differently. You know, it says in Mark 14:60, "Then the high priest stood up before them all and questioned Jesus, 'Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?' But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest questioned him, 'Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus here says a statement that we should all recognize. I am. Okay. He uses the exact same words that God used when he was talking to Moses. I am. Okay. Jesus right there is 100% claiming that he's God. Ego eimi. The self-existent one. Okay. And Jesus said, "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we need witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they condemned him, deserving of death. And then you have the same thing in Luke. The same thing is described. Okay. And then we can jump back over to John. Yep. Back over to John. John, I believe it's John 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John 4, 25. Okay, this is where he's talking to the woman at the well. Right? So we all kind of know what that story is because Ricky's taught on that several times. Okay? But there's always something we can pull out of it, right? Well, here in verse 25, Jesus already said pretty much everything he's going to say. And then the woman says to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I, the one speaking to you, am he."
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, right? How awesome would that be? For Jesus to stand right in front of you and say, "Hey, that Messiah you've been waiting for, I'm the guy.
I perform miracles right in front of your eyes and still, you know."
Right? Right? I mean, really, the only miracle he did with her was explain her life to her.
Yeah.
Right?
Prove that she's living in.
Yeah. Right? So, right there. Not only do you see that Jesus is claiming, "Yes, I am God in the flesh," right? That's what Messiah is God come in flesh. Okay? And he's not only that, but I think one of the cool ones is, and this has happened to most of us, is that even in our sin, Jesus revealed who he was. right? How many of you, it was in your sin that Jesus revealed himself to you? Right? The Bible tells us that he came to save those who were lost. Okay, how do you save those who are lost? Well, you come to them while they're still lost, and you show them who you are. And Jesus has done that for many of us, if not all of us. Okay? Says that he is the one who reveals. The Spirit is the one who reveals. Right? So, it's really kind of cool to know that, look, even the people who are lost and still sinning, Jesus can show himself to. And they can still be saved. Okay? You know, and there will come a time where their time to repent will have expired. Now, in John 12, and I promise we're coming to the end of this whole little thing. Wait a minute. Let me jump back to 8 real quick. Sorry, guys. I found more references after I'd already written a bunch. So, so John 8, 53. And again, he's talking to the Pharisees and scribes and whatnot. And they say, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you claim to be?" And Jesus says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. My Father, about whom you say he is our God," boom, okay, "he is the one who glorifies me. You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you." I love it when he just takes shots at them, okay? "But I do know him. And I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham?" He wouldn't even see Abraham if he was 50 years old, okay? Right? "And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple." Okay? Jesus concealed himself supernaturally to escape. Right? Because it wasn't his time to die. It wasn't his time to die. Now, let's jump to 12. John 12. And believe me, there's so many more that we could easily jump to. But here we go. Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judgment. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know this. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." Right? It's because the Father is in him. Right? Now, let me go ahead and just... why don't we go ahead and throw the death knell on it? What do you think?
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. In John 10. Okay.
10 what?
Verse 22. Okay. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." "I did tell you," right? We already read that. Okay. "I did tell you, and you do not believe." Jesus answered them, "The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And here is your death knell. Okay? "I and the Father are one. I am God. I am the I am." Okay? I'm pretty sure there's no question about it after that. Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me?" "We aren't stoning you for a good work," the Jews answered, "but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Right? They just didn't believe him. Have we proven enough right here and now that Jesus is God? Who believes it? Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the living one. Okay? He is the shepherd. It's the one that everyone was looking for and basically everyone missed. Thank God he's been revealed to us. And we should reveal him to other people. Okay? All right. Let's go back to Revelation. I told you we were going to spend a little while in that. And so this is going to be slightly longer. I hope that's okay. Again, we don't have much going on today. So, all right. Now, let's jump to verse 19.
Yeah, 38:24.
Right? That's a good one to really... to memorize, right? Okay, so the rest of verse 18 is, you know, Jesus again is kind of rehashing what he said to John in his first vision of what Jesus is looking like. Okay, so it's just again, the eyes of fire means he's got that, the eyes that can pierce, he can see, he knows your heart and mind, right? And he's going to restate this again at one point. Okay, and the feet of bronze means he can trample. He can trample. Okay, it's that fine bronze. It's that fired bronze. It's really hardened. Okay, this is the stuff that's really hard to break. Okay, oh, but it will break nearly anything. Not to mention it's Jesus. Okay, now in verse 19, he says, "I know your works." Again, Jesus knows what's going on. Okay, we need to stop trying to think we can hide from him. Okay, he says that this church is doing really good, right? The fruits of the Spirit are really showing in them, right? We have different fruits here. We have love, faithfulness, service, endurance. And he says that it's actually gotten better. You've grown in them. Okay, this is what we want Jesus to say about us. Hey, you've actually grown in the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? This is why we should be praying for the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in us and through us. Okay? And then he goes on and he says in verse 20, "But I have this against you." It's like, oh no. Oh no. What have we done? So what did they do? They were tolerant of false teaching. Okay? Just like so many of the other churches. They tolerated false teaching. And many of them never spoke up against it. They just allowed it to happen. Right? They allowed people to get deceived. Okay? Jezebel was probably just a nickname. Okay? Because typically, Jezebel has always been somebody bad. Okay? And it's always been a woman who has seduced people into following false teaching. Okay? Back in 1 Kings, right? 1 Kings. Jezebel, the queen Jezebel, she is bad. She does a whole lot of horrible stuff. Okay? And further in Revelation, you see that Jezebel is also the whore. Okay? So, it's not a good thing to be called Jezebel. So if you guys ever have daughters, don't name her Jezebel. I kid. Okay? But what she's doing is she's teaching these people like she's getting stuff from God. Like so many false teachers, like, well, an angel came and spoke to me. You know, or God said to me, you know, I have this new revelation that it's okay for us to fornicate. How many of us would love for somebody to just start telling us, yeah, it's totally cool for you to go have sex and you're still saved, even if it's outside of marriage, right? I think many believers would be thrilled. Well, that's what the church has done today, right? Today, we are so tolerant of everything. Yes, it's okay to be gay and Christian. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage and live with your girlfriend and be a Christian. It's okay to do drugs and be a Christian. It's okay to sin and be a Christian. I'm pretty sure the Bible tells us differently. Right? How often does Jesus say, repent, turn from the things you were doing. Go and sin no more.
Probably more times than he claims to be God.
Right? He's always calling us to leave the sin life, to leave the flesh life, to leave the worldly pleasures behind. Right? But too often we see in different churches, in the churches of Revelation, you see this. They get deceived and they start believing. They start going after what the false teachers are saying. They start doing these things that God has said, don't do them. And because so many Christian, especially Christian men, are pacified sissies, we don't speak up. We don't go, hey, the Bible says we can't do that stuff. Instead, we follow the world and we're tolerant because we don't want to face persecution. Right? Even though it says you are blessed if you are persecuted for my name's sake, for the name of Jesus. Okay? You want to be hated by the world. It's actually a good thing. Okay? You want the world to hate you because of Christ. If they hate you just because they hate you, and it's not because you're an ardent follower of Christ, you're doing it wrong. Okay? We should be following Christ so closely that we are willing to call out sin. We're willing to call out false teaching. Okay? No matter who it ticks off. Because inevitably, it's going to tick somebody off. Okay? I have no problem calling out false teachers. Okay? Because I'm sorry. When I look in the Bible, I don't see Jesus going, hey, follow me and I'll give you all your wildest dreams. However, I do see that from the devil. It's exactly what he told Jesus, right? If you will but bow to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And I love it that Jesus is like, they're already mine. Right? Too often we bow to what the world wants, instead of standing up for what the truth is. So here's the reality. Truth is truth. Period. Too many think that truth is subjective nowadays. Truth is not subjective. It is absolute. Okay? If it was subjective, then I could make up my own rules and do whatever I want and I should never get in trouble for it. But that's not true, is it? Is it? It's consequences for the bad things we do, right? Just about every single one of you has seen the inside of a jail cell, right? Because you have done something that you weren't supposed to do. You know, so being tolerant and just saying, oh yeah, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. No, the Bible tells us that truth is truth.
I mean,
And so this prophetess, she's like, I am speaking from God. Therefore, you must listen to me and do what I tell you. And she drags him into sexual immorality and eating things that are sacrificed to idols. So doing things that are not okay with God. Okay? So, and then, I mean, that's going down all the way through verse 21. Okay? In verse 21, Jesus is like, hey, repent. Right? I gave her time to repent. What does that indicate? That there's a timetable on repentance. That at some point, if you don't repent, Jesus is going to give you over to the reprobate mind. Because he knows nothing will cause you to come to him.
Harden your heart.
Right? You harden your own heart and he'll let you. He doesn't want that. Right? God wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth, which is Christ Jesus. Wishes that none would perish and that all would have eternal life. God doesn't want people to die in sin. He wants people to come to Christ, repent, and follow him. Right? Just like in Ephesus, he says, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and return to your first love. Right? Repentance is something that we need to be doing constantly, daily, at every moment because we suck at following Jesus. We're growing in it, right? As the process of sanctification happens your entire life. You know? But we need to repent. You guys know what repentance is, right? It's a complete heart change. It's a total turn away from the things you once did that were sinful and dragging you to hell. Right? Repentance is absolutely necessary for everyone. But only the true follower of Christ will actually do it. So one of the questions you got to ask yourself, am I a true follower? Am I willing to actually repent? And then do it. Don't say, oh yeah, I'm going to repent and never do it. Right? We don't want to look like we're followers of Christ. We want to be followers of Christ. Right? So again, there's a timetable. You don't repent before you're dead. You don't get another chance. There is no second chance. Okay? Despite what some of these teachers and movies that we've probably seen teach, there is no second chance after death. Hey, the Bible tells us that it is appointed once for man to die, then the judgment. No amount of good works is going to get us into heaven. Right? It says, only the peoples whose names are found in the Lamb's Book of Life are brought into heaven. But yet so many people believe this teaching that, oh yeah, there's still forgiveness after death. You know, you can still be forgiven after death. You can still go to hell for a little bit, tormented for a little bit, and then be ushered into heaven because love wins. It's not true. Hey, it's a bunch of lies. The Bible never once says, hey, after you die, you can go be punished for a little bit. Then you can be saved and ushered into the kingdom of heaven. It's not there. You will never find it. Okay? That's a universalist teaching. Okay? And we've all heard of or seen the movies that teach us this. Okay? Because it teaches this universalism teaching. That you can be forgiven after death and still go to be with Christ. And it's not true. Yeah, sure, it's a great story. It looks good. It makes you feel good, right? It has a good message about forgiveness, but it's still heresy. It's wrong. It's false teaching. Okay? Even in Catholicism, right? You have this teaching of purgatory. You go there, your family members pray and pay for you to get out of it so you can be in heaven. It's BS. It's not real. This doesn't happen. Okay? It's appointed once for man to die, then the judgment. Okay? There is no waiting place. Okay, do you know where purgatory comes from? Hades. Because that is what's open right now, not the lake of fire. There's no one in the lake of fire. There's no one there. The first people who go there? The false prophet. It's the first false prophet and the beast. They're the first ones to be thrown into the lake of fire. And then you have Satan. Then you have death and Hades. Then you have all the unbelievers are ushered into the lake of fire. Okay? So that's where the idea of purgatory comes from. Is that there is this place of torment right now, Hades, and that eventually you'll be able to get out of it. It's not true. It's not true. The Bible doesn't describe it that way. You know, so let's repent now while we have time. Okay? Because again, Bible tells us that your life is but a vapor, right? You don't know when you're going to die. God knows. You don't know. So we need to live for Him. And we need to do the things that He has called us to. Not what we want. It's not about us. It's about Him. Okay? And even in verse 23, you see that idea that the unrepentant, those who don't repent, will suffer the same affliction that He's going to bring upon this prophetess and those who follow her. The ones that don't repent, they're going to suffer the consequences and the punishment. Okay? Hey, now, real quick, because this one throws a lot of people off. I will strike her children dead. This is not talking about actual children. Okay? This is her followers. Okay? Her deceived followers. Okay? Because a lot of people have thought, oh, God's just a baby killer. No, that's not true. Okay? He's not talking about actual children here. Yes, there have been times in the Old Testament that God had entire nations wiped out, including women and children. Okay? And I think He did that as something for mercy for those children so that they didn't have to grow up and become like their parents. Okay? Hey, I know where my baby is. She's with the Lord. Okay? So I know that God is not taking children and having them murdered and slaughtered because He's a meanie and a jerk. It's because He loves them and He says, you're better off with me than with them. Okay. Now also in verse 23, Jesus says, I'm the one who knows hearts and minds. Okay. Jesus is the one who looks inside you and understands what is really going on with your thoughts and intentions. Right? He knows. He made you. Of course He's going to know. Okay, so don't think that you're concealing anything from Jesus. He's the one who searches hearts and minds. And He knows the intentions of our hearts. Okay, so we can be doing a lot of good stuff, and our intentions can still be selfish. Okay, so our intentions need to be honor and glorify God. That's where our intentions should lie. Now, to those that were not deceived and that were actually probably standing up against these false teachings, Jesus says, I don't put a burden on you. I don't place a burden on you. He says, you're doing good. Keep it up, right? Because that's what He goes on to say. He says, to the one who conquers, again, we want to be those people. We want to be the ones who conquer. We want to be the ones who endure. Okay? To the very end. He says, keep my works to the end. So continues to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. Live faithfully for Him. Right? And He says, I will give him authority over the nations. Okay? And then he quotes Psalm 2. I think it's like verse 7 through 9. You know, he says, look, God has given me authority, and I will give you authority. Okay? It'd be really fun to be given authority by God. Right? Right? The only authority we have right now is we have authority over sin in our lives, right? And we have authority in the name of Jesus, right? If we've been given the gift of healing, we've been given the gift of speaking out against demonic entities, right? We see these things. I've had this happen. I've seen people get healed. I clearly don't have the gift of healing. However, if God wants to do it, he's going to do it, right? Just like I prayed for my wife and my children who have the cold that I just had, that you guys kind of have. Okay? I asked for healing. Didn't it happen? You know, he's using their immune systems to heal them. You know, but I have seen people get healed. I've been there when people have had broken bones healed. It's crazy to see. Okay? Ricky will tell you a story about him and his wife. Okay, that one night she was having a massive fever, and he was too, but hers was worse, and he just felt in his spirit, pray for her. And he did it, you know, silent and all this stuff. And God goes, no, no, no. I want you actually to put your hand on her, and I want you to pray for her out loud. And Ricky said, I did it. And when he did it, he felt the heat of her sickness transferring through him and then out of him, because he was obedient to what God was telling him to do. It's really cool. Gives you goosebumps, and it didn't even happen to me. Right? One of the biggest miracles that I know I've seen was praying for God to heal my baby. Okay? Some of you have heard my story. Okay, so you know this, but my daughter, my first daughter, she was about 28 weeks when we found out she had a couple birth defects that would need to be corrected after she was born. No indication that she would ever die. About 36 weeks, we went to go get an ultrasound and make a plan for the surgery and all that stuff. The ultrasound tech left the room, and here comes the head of the department, does a couple things, and just looks at us and says, I'm sorry, but there's no heartbeat. Hey, but ever since we had found out that there was stuff wrong with our baby, her name was River, we found out there was stuff wrong with River, we had been praying for healing, whether it was full and complete healing and a regular birth, or whatever it was that God wanted to do, whether it was through the doctors and surgery, or some other way, God chose full and complete healing by taking her home. My daughter never had to come into this world and experience sin. I'm grateful for that. Hey, that to me was a miracle. It hurt. I wish I still had my little girl. But you know what? God blessed me with two more, and I have another one on the way. But I will never forget River. Okay? If you guys didn't know, that's her heartbeat. Okay? This whole thing symbolizes my life. I was dead before Christ. I had my time of stupid, and then I came back and I was made alive, just like she was. She is alive, playing with Christ right now. When I meet Christ, because I'm more excited to meet him, I hope I get to see my little girl too. It'll be an amazing day. An amazing day. But you know what? That was the biggest miracle I've ever experienced. God healed her fully and completely. That's amazing. Okay. Now, jump from all that. This whole thing with the morning star, everybody gets weird about it. And everybody starts thinking, well, what's the morning star? I have no clue. You know, other than Jesus is called the bright and morning star. But you also see that Lucifer is the dawn of the son of the dawn, or sometimes he's referred to as the morning star. Okay, because he was probably the brightest angel, because he was in the presence of God. Okay. And, but you have Jesus, who is now glorified, is as bright as God. Right? Right? At the Mount Transfiguration, what happens? He transforms into this just bright light. Because God is light, an unapproachable light. Hey, that's why the angels that surround his throne are called the burning ones. They're on fire. Okay? They're on fire because they're around God. Think about it. When Moses went to be on Mount Sinai with God and he was there for 40 days, when he came down, his face shined so brightly that they had to put a head covering over him because he was too bright to look at. Okay? So I would really like to think that this is Jesus saying, look, just as I have received from the Father, I will also give to him the morning star. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you myself. I really hope that's the case. But again, I'm not 100% on that one. I don't know. So here, I'll read you what John Wesley wrote about this verse. It says, I give him the morning star. So he's referencing the verse 28. He says, Thou, O Jesus, art the morning star. O give thyself to me. Then I will desire no sun, only thee, who art the sun also. These guys in their old English. He whom the star enlightens has always morning and no evening. The duties and the promises here answer each other. The valiant conqueror has power over the stubborn nations, and he that after having conquered his enemies keeps the works of Christ to the end shall have the morning star, an unspeakable brightness and peaceable dominion in him. So, Jesus, right? Right? So that's what makes the most sense. Now, it could, you know, it could be, it's just that he's going to give you peace and brightness, you know, and so. and then in verse 29, let anyone who has ears, again, pretty sure we can all hear what's being said right now. Ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's listen. Let's listen up. Let's move forward, stand firm, and follow Christ. Amen. Okay? Amen. Who wants to close us? Go.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another beautiful morning. Thank you for the people that you put in my life and everyone else's life here so that we better be able to understand your word and what you'd like us to do. I pray that you'd open our hearts so that we'd be able to hear your voice better and be able to walk into more according with your word. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.